opposed to Jesus. They went to Jesus and asked him for a favor. They asked Jesus to help a particular Roman centurion by healing a servant. That's unusual because the Pharisees were not friendly toward Jesus normally, and normally would not be friendly toward a Roman army officer. After all, the Romans occupied Israel at the time. Israel was a nation in bondage to the Romans, a humiliating position. But for this guy, this Roman centurion, the local Jewish authorities approached Jesus, asking Jesus to help the centurion. Why would the Jews, the Pharisees, do that? Because this centurion had helped the Pharisees. He had arranged for a new synagogue to be constructed there in the town of Capernaum. So these Pharisees approached Jesus, asking him to help the Roman centurion, and they explained to Jesus that even though he's one of the hated foreign occupiers, they described him as worthy of the mercy and kindness of Jesus. Here's the interesting part. When the Roman centurion addressed Jesus himself, he described himself as not worthy, but he described himself as unworthy. And Jesus marveled at that comment and lavishly praised the centurion. Why? You know, this centurion faced problems that he could not solve on his own. You and I also face issues and problems in our lives that we cannot solve on our own. Health issues, concerns involving our children or grandchildren, or maybe our parents, or worries about the future. So when it comes to issues that only God can address, when all we can do is pray, is it better to be seen as worthy of God's help or unworthy of God's help? As we approach God seeking his help and favor, should we position ourselves to be seen as worthy in his eyes? Or does it even matter? You know, earlier this week, one of my kids sent me a link to an article in the well-known British newspaper called The Guardian. It was written by an American named Chris Arnay. Arnay earned a PhD in physics from Johns Hopkins University in 1992, and then went to work as a trader on Wall Street for 20 years. After earning more money than he could possibly spend for the rest of his life, in 2012, he decided to pursue his passion. He started working with and photographing homeless drug addicts in the South Bronx. As a 16-year-old, Arnay had proclaimed himself an atheist. Most of his life, he'd been an admirer of the outspoken British atheist, Richard Dawkins. In his article for The Guardian, he commented, "When I first walked into the Bronx, I assumed I would find the same cynicism that I had toward faith. If anyone seemed to be the perfect candidate for atheism, it was the addicts who see daily how unfair and unjust and how evil the world can be. But none of them are atheists. In fact, many are some of the strongest believers in Jesus I've ever met. The first addict I met was Takesha. She's the daughter of a prostitute. She was molested at age 11 by a relative. At age 13, recruited by her mother, she started working the streets as a prostitute herself. That was 30 years ago. We talked for an hour before I took a picture. And I asked her how she'd like to be described if the photo was ever published. She said without any pause, "I want to be described as who I am. A prostitute, a mother of saints, and a child of God." Speaking of her early years when she was forced into prostitution by her own drug-addicted family, she said, "It's sad. But you know what kept me going through all that? God. Whenever I got into the car, God got into the car with me." In his article, Arnaid goes on to describe a couple, both heroin addicts, who have a picture of the Last Supper propped up against the concrete underneath the interstate where they live. He describes Sarah, 15 years on the streets, who never, ever removes the cross from around her neck. And the crack addict, Michael, 30 years homeless, who keeps rosary beads always in his pocket. And Arnaid insists that in any crack house, in any crack house, in the darkest buildings empty of all other furnishings, a worn Bible found laying flat amongst the needles, caps, lighters, and crack pipes. That astonished me. And it astonished Chris Arnaid. That's why he wrote the article. When we think of strong believers in Jesus, we imagine people like ourselves. Responsible citizens. Successful to one degree or another. And my suspicion is that we think of ourselves as worthy of receiving the gifts of forgiveness and mercy and compassion that Jesus showers upon us. We're good people, after all, aren't we? You know, Jesus marveled at the centurion. Jesus praised him lavishly because he was highly unusual. A man of authority. A man of a prestigious title and station in life. And yet a man who saw himself as he really was. Unworthy before a holy God. I suspect the prostitutes and the junkies and the meth heads that congregate in the South Bronx also see themselves as they really are. Unworthy. The point of today's gospel lesson is that we too are called to see ourselves as we really are. Unworthy before a holy God. We've got a picture of the Apostle Paul displayed today. Paul wrote our epistle lesson from Galatians, the letter written to the believers in the Greek territory of Galatia. Paul was worked up when he wrote that letter. He was angry because representatives of the Jerusalem church had visited the Galatians after Paul had left them. And these men from Jerusalem convinced the Galatians that if they really wanted to be Christians, they first needed to prove themselves worthy by being circumcised. Paul was absolutely livid. The whole point of the gospel is that we're all unworthy. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy of God's forgiveness and mercy and goodness. We're saved by faith through grace alone. God's unmerited favor. The controversy that arose in Galatia led to a big conference in Jerusalem that helped the early Christians articulate this doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. You can read all about it in Acts 15. You know what's interesting? This Chris Arnaid, wealthy former Wall Street trader and atheist, has come to Christian faith, proselytized by the homeless and addicted that he now spends his time with. He wrote this verse: "In these last few years, out from behind my computers, I have been reminded that life is not rational and everyone makes mistakes. Or in biblical terms, we are all sinners." We are all sinners. For some of us, our daily battles ever remind us of that fact. For others of us, it's easier to temporarily fool yourself into thinking you've moved beyond sin. Don't be fooled. You're an incorrigible sinner. That's the honest to God truth for every one of us. And that's why you and I never outgrow the gospel. The wonderful news of God's love and forgiveness for you and I, despite our unworthiness. The truth that God has removed our guilt as far as the east is from the west. That's the gospel. The fact that we've been wrapped in the righteous robes of Jesus and our filth is covered up and hidden as far as God is concerned. That's the gospel. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Though our sin be as scarlet, we've been washed white as snow. We read it in God's word. We hear it in the words of absolution. And we taste it in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper. You and I are unworthy. But we're also forgiven and accepted and loved lavishly by God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be like the centurion and see ourselves as we really are. And Lord, as we see your great forgiveness and mercy and compassion toward us, cause us to be filled with gratitude toward you and filled with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.